But now, well, let's go to the bank. Must have been the Kool-Aid they drank. Sucker, take that to the bank. Yes, the smoking gun is how consumer advocacy groups have described internal ANZ bank documents, which show that the bank was making a profit from the fees that it charged customers. The fees, it said, are the subject of the biggest class action in Australia's legal history, involving 38,000 customers who say they were charged excessive fees over a seven-year period. The federal court now has to decide whether those fees were illegal. And joining us now to discuss the case is the CEO of the Consumer Action Law Centre, Jared Brody. And in the interests of ABC impartiality, I should mention that I have done some work with Calc and Jared in connection with the TV show I work on, The Checkout. And as an ex-lawyer who got 50.0 in contract law, I've always thought that the bank's arguments in this area are what's technically known in law as a total crock. But we'll see whether Jared Brody agrees. Jared, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Jules.
Now, what's smoking about the ANZ's guns?
Well, look, I think the output from the court today is some documents, that internal documents from ANZ about the charging of what they called exception fees, what we call penalty fees, over a number of years. These are the fees when you overdraw your bank account or you're late on paying your credit card. And a number of years ago, the banks regularly charged us $30 or $40 or even $50 a pop. And many thousands of consumers got stung. Back in about 2004, our centre first raised the concern that these were potentially unlawful on the basis of being a penalty at law. And what that means is that if you breach a contract with another party, they are not allowed to penalise you for that. They can only sort of recover the cost or the loss incurred.
So the banks say that it's cost recovery, and consumers say, no, this is actually such a high fee that it's designed to stop you from, you know, breaching the time limits or those sorts of things.
That's exactly right. And in this case, the data that's come out from the court suggests that the amounts from ANZ were really profit centres, making millions of dollars from each of these fee lines. And it does seem to be in contradistinction from, you know, the argument that they only cost recovery. And that's really what the court's got to decide.
Okay. How does the bank, or do we know how the banks actually characterise these documents? Do they read like documents which were written mindful that these sorts of questions might arise in the future?
Look, I think that the documents look as though they're written around the time that our centre and Choice also were running a campaign about bank fees. And in 2009-10, we were encouraging many consumers to complain directly to their banks and to seek a refund, and many thousands of consumers did that. At the time, there was also the regulators and the governments looking at whether they should regulate these sort of practices by banks more closely. And it looks like that's the context that the banks wrote these documents in, and potential changes to their income because of changes to their charging practices. We've seen what actually happened in practice is that most of the banks either abolished or significantly reduced these fees in around 2010. But this class action is really designed for those that were charged the much higher fees in the years before that.
And what sort of losses did any of the particular members of the class action, if you're aware? I mean, is this a matter of $50 or $60 for each person, or are there really substantial individual imposts involved?
Look, I think many of the people involved in the class action had had much more than that. I know from our centre, we've had complaints from consumers who are regularly charged these sort of fees. And it might be that they've just had a direct debit authority set up, and that means that it's coming out
notice.
The wrong day. You don't know it's coming out. And it's not until much later down the track do you realise you're actually being charged $50 a pop, and that can add up quite quickly.
Why is ANZ the bank that gets its brand on the legal case? Wasn't everyone doing this?
Look, they were, and there are similar actions pending against all the big banks, I think. Maurice Blackburn is the law firm behind the class action, and you'll have to ask them about why they chose ANZ. Maybe it's because they begin with an A. But there are other actions against all the banks that are pending, awaiting the outcome of this matter.
I mean, obviously, you follow the current fees that banks charge. Is it the case now that the fees that banks charge are broadly reasonable, and this is a, if you like, a legacy issue?
In many ways, it is a legacy issue. So the banks have reformed the way in which they charge fees when you overdraw your bank account or you pay your credit card late. I should say most banks, not all of them. There are still some banks that charge significant fees. And in fact, it's even some of the smaller banks, such as the credit unions and so forth, that are still charging many of these fees. The big banks, I think one of the biggest banks, NAB, doesn't charge anything at all. But other banks charge between, I've seen between $5 and $15. I would still say if it's getting to the, $10, $15, I really question whether that's the actual cost incurred by the bank. It might be costing them a little bit. Maybe they're sending you a letter in the mail. That's only 50 cents for the stamp. So I'm not sure it's going to actually cost them $10 or $15. So it'll be interesting to see what actually the court decides in this matter about what costs are actually reasonable.
Because you'd think there'd be a practical question there as well. I mean, you can't really tell exactly what every minute of every transaction in a massive organisation like that. Is it really feasible to cost them to that level of detail?
Look, I think if anyone can cost them to that level of detail, the banks, the place that they can do it, I think that they've got thousands of people working, understanding the profit drivers for particular fees and for particular products. That there's likely to be data and analysis inside the banks. Whether that can all come to light and the court can use that to make a determination, I'm not entirely sure. But we hope that that it's such out of proportion to the actual costs in this case that it would mean that the consumers are compensated.
Well, obviously the evidence has come out, but the final decision hasn't been made, so we'll await that. But just finally, Jared Brody, what advice would you suggest for consumers if they're unhappy about bank fees, or if they see something which they think might be a penalty like the ones that are being litigated in this case?
Look, always we encourage consumers to complain directly to their bank. I think that what's interesting about this case is that it might have far-reaching implications, not only for banks, but for fees charged by others like telcos or utility companies, who also charge significant fees if you're late making your payment. I think that this sort of case might send some shivers up the spines of executives in those big organisations, which it might have some ongoing repercussions for them as well.
All right. Well, Jared Brody, thanks very much for joining us, and the check's in the mail.
Thanks very much.
That's Jared Brody there, the CEO of the Victorian-based Consumer Action Law Centre, known as CALC. It's 19 minutes past six on Friday Drive, and we did ask ANZ to speak with us about this issue, but they weren't available. But I'm sure I've fairly and balancedly represented their perspective on these issues. Friday Drive on RN, Julian Morrow with you, and now, to a much more serious issue.